Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for this new week that we are in. We thank you for this new day that we are in, a new season that we are in. Thank you for your faithfulness no matter what happens all around us. You are with us and you go before us, Lord. So we thank you this morning. I pray that we would be encouraged deeply in you, in your presence, in your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I have a word to encourage you, believe it or not. And, you know, we're in this, it's an amazing moment in time on the other side of the elections and the appointing of a new president and all. And one of the things that I'm so amazed by is the call to both the presence and the call to prayer that we have embraced as a community. So I just want to say thank you for being a faithful praying church. I remember last week John said that, you know, 2020 turned out to be a significant year of prayer for us as a church. All of our corporate Friday night, you know, night of prayer that all of you came so faithfully to. When we reopened the church after 2 months of shutdown, we weren't sure what it would be like. You know, we don't have, you know, all the plans laid out, but I remember being in those meetings, you know, with fear and trembling, deciding to open the door, trusting that God is going with us. And we weren't sure where all of you were, but you came in through those doors. This place was packed. And your life encourages us to pursue the Lord even more. Isn't that true? You know? So thank you. Come on, give your neighbor a round of applause for being amazing. And, you know, so much has changed in the past year and a half. And, you know, it's where all of life, whether it's, you know, businesses, schools, local societies, how people behave with each other when you're out shopping. Everything has changed so much. It's like a whirlwind came through our nation and the world, really. And we are evolving. Even as a church, we're evolving. And we're reinventing. Everyone's reinventing how to navigate through all of the changing surrounding. What I feel looking back is that God is establishing. God is still working, not still working. He is ahead of all of us. He's ahead of all of this. And he's forming something that I haven't seen before. He's forming and establishing and raising up a church in the context of a nation. Just a couple of years ago, church was church. Politics and government was that. And there was very little connection between the two. But God is using all of the chaos, whether you like it or not, where you stand politically, it's not about politics. I'm looking continually at what, God, what are you doing in the midst of all that's happening? He's not dethroned, right? He's not isolated. He's fully at work. And we live backwards from the reality that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. That is our cheat sheet, to live today with hope no matter what happens, because our future, the future of this world, is in God. Come on. Thank you, Lord. And God is raising, I feel coming out of all of the intensity of the political movement and all, God is raising up a conservative movement. Before, it was almost, just 2 years ago probably, it was almost shameful to say that you were conservative, right? But now there's a very articulate, strong, conservative, young leaders, conservative movement, no telling what God will do with that movement. And it's a lot of that is faith-based and connected to churches. A lot of them are speaking at churches. So we're moving, and God is doing something. Be patient. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Somebody sent me a meme not too long ago. You know, if you're on a train and you go through a dark tunnel, a long tunnel, if you drive through Switzerland, sometimes the tunnels are like 5 minutes long, you know. And when you're in a tunnel, everything's dark. You don't know what's going on. You don't even know where you're going. You don't tear your ticket and jump out of the train, right? Because that season, that moment is not your destination. Neither is it your destiny. Come on. We have a destination. We have a destiny, and it is rooted and established firmly in God. No matter what happens, no matter how many tunnels, no matter how long the tunnel is, our children, when we would drive through Europe, they had this game. You hold your breath when you go through. It's a terrible game when you go through Europe, European tunnels. It's like 3 minutes long. You're like, kids, breathe. And we had to at one point say, don't play this game, because I was getting nervous driving and we had to make sure they're breathing. And so in the midst of all the chaos, there's also people were sending me during, while we were praying last year for our nation and all, people were sending me prophetic words that prophets were speaking and, you know, about picking, you know, one side or the other. And for me, this is my own perspective in this. Sometimes prophecies in the midst of certain situations, like the elections, is a distraction for me. Because I'm already 100% sure where my heart is because of the values that we are voting for. Does that make sense? So those prophetic words are not doing anything to my already established process. It just becomes a question mark. And I've heard prophetic words from very credible people on who have prophesied for both the parties. And all of that did was create so much confusion and chaos. And by the fruit of that kind of ministry, I don't want to address the prophetic ministry. I want to address us. Because after the elections, a lot of people were sending me, like they were sending me the prophetic words before, they were sending me articles about the prophets repenting for because their prophetic word didn't come to pass. I want to encourage us, let all of the weight of that fall off of us, because we are called to be a people of prayer. The reason it was distracting, because I knew already what I wanted to pray for. I knew already what we were believing for. There were moments when I would get discouraged, and all I had to do was look at my children. I'm like, we're not done yet. We're moving forward. There's so much more to believe for, generations to believe for. Does that make sense? And in those moments, there are only two candidates. It's like, you know, when a woman's pregnant and you have, you know, young prophets have the urge to kind of establish their credibility by prophesying if it's a boy or girl. I mean, it's a 50-50 chance. It's like going to them and saying, you're going to have a baby. Yeah. It's going to be a boy or a girl. But I would rather go to that person if you know them, we love them, say, hey, we want to pray for you. Sarah and I want to pray for you that this would be an amazing next few months as you guys get ready to have your baby, David. And, you know, isn't that more encouraging than saying, and then it becomes a question mark until they get the sonogram. True? So it's not releasing something. And I wrote this, the nature of prophecy is not to release information, but strategy to pray, contend, believe, and persevere. So sometimes we have to come off of our prophetic ministry platform and pray according to the things that you already believe in. Jesus, help us. So I'm not addressing that. I'm addressing us so that we don't continue with that confusion that's all around us. There are ministries now gathering together to reevaluate and reevaluate the prophetic voice in America. I'm like, come on. I want to pray more. Jesus. So if any of that has caused confusion for us in our community and those who are watching online, let it just fall off of you. Let's continue being a people that pursue the presence of God, know what our righteous roots are, and continue being a people of prayer. Just when we thought 2020, we believed and prayed for against COVID and for the elections for a whole nation, I felt like every time I prayed, I was carrying the weight of a whole nation. Did you guys feel that too? I felt like everything depended on me continuing to pray. And I could tell we all carry that burden, that weight. Well, what's amazing is we turn into 2021 and Patty and Sarah and others are working on redesigning our furnace, our prayer room. Just when we thought we were at the end and exhausted all of our energy praying, God is saying, I'm going to redesign your prayer room. So you better buckle up and get ready because we're going to come into a new environment, new vision, new courage, new strategy to pray for more. Thank you, Lord. Because this tunnel is not our destination. We are pursuing, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One time we were in Cyprus and I was actually, we were praying. We had this prayer strategy for all of the Mediterranean nations that the Mediterranean Sea touched and ring around the Med. And we would pray for them. One time we were praying and prophesying over some of those nations. And I saw this vision of us, our prayers and our prophecies were like arrows that we were shooting from this mountaintop where we lived to those nations. And after I was done praying, I went back to my seat and this vision opened. Like, not only were we shooting the arrows, I saw us running down the mountain ahead of the arrows, grabbing the arrows where it was supposed to land and planting it firm in the ground. Sometimes it's not enough just to prophesy because you have a ministry, but we are called to be committed to those arrows that we pray for, committed to those arrows that we prophesy about, and run even faster so that we can be part of the answers, part of the solution here on the earth, here for America. Thank you, Lord. I feel we're called as Life Center to be a church with solutions for our nation, solutions in His presence and solutions in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe that? Just turn your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Numbers 13, and we'll stay there for the rest of our time. And this message is called A Different Spirit. And this, the context of the story in Numbers 13 and 14 is God has brought the whole nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he promised Abraham about a land which he will give to them as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, He's walking the same promise through with Moses and the tribes, and he brings them to the edge of the promise. And that's where we pick up the story, Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their families, you should send a man, everyone a leader among them." So this was the assignment that God gave to Moses to tell the leaders, 12 tribes, and pick one person from each of those tribes. And the assignment was this: send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. He already gave them the answer. He's saying, go and spy out the land, but I'm going to give you the land. Okay? So the answer and the fulfillment all together is in the initial assignment that God gives them. In verse 18, and this is what the specifics, the details of the assignment, and see what the land is like. Assignment one, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Assignment number two, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Assignment three, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Assignment four, whether the land is rich or poor, and on it says, whether there are forests there or not. You see, he's giving them, apparently God has been thinking about this a lot longer than they have. He didn't just tell them, hey, go spy out the land, let me know what's there. Right? It's not saying, go and have a great time. Have a safe journey. He's saying, go spy out the land, but I want you to spy out specific things. The first thing he says is, see what the land is like. Why did he say that? Why do you begin with that? Because the answer, we already read, because of the land I'm giving to the children of Israel. This land I'm giving to you, go into it, look at it, all of these different things, and come back and give me a report. But at the end of that assignment, he says this, be of good courage. Whenever God says that, there's trouble ahead. He's saying that for a reason. Not just to say, bon voyage, have a great trip. He's saying that for a specific reason. Be of good courage, because you will need courage in order to bring the right report. And then he says, bring some fruit of the land too. Like, you make it really intense and then you kind of make it, soften it a little bit. Like, I'm teaching Murr to drive now, you know, and whenever I feel, I'm like, hey, Murr, you're doing such a great job. Instead of telling her, don't swerve, I'm like, oh, keep going straight. My voice gets higher and higher. Those are indicators more that I'm scared. Be of good courage. By the way, bring back some fruit, some grapes when you go shopping. Say, hey, can you get this too? You know. So they come back, the report in verse 25, and they return from spying out the land for 40 days. So it wasn't like a quick go in, look at it, and come back. 40 days, meaning you live there for a little bit, for a few days. And you're saturated, you're engaged with everything that the land has to offer at that time. And you have to experience what the land is all about. But the men, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And I'm speaking this passage to us in the context of where we are at the tail end of a whole extended season of praying, believing, contending for our land. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, really. And all the people whom we saw in it are like our men of great stature. Verse 33, there we saw the giants. He didn't ask them, are there, you know, he asked them specific things, specific reports. He didn't ask them to evaluate the report, just to get the report, because he already gave the answer, I'm giving this land to the children of Israel. They didn't need to figure it out. They just needed to obey and believe fully. Thank you, Lord. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Very creative. Not only that, and so we were in their sight. I mean, it's one thing for you to go and get scared and feel like grasshoppers, but it's another thing to conduct yourself in such a way that not only you think that, but they think that as well. And you know that they think that about you. Not only were we grasshoppers in our sight, we were grasshoppers in their sight. You see, when God speaks to us and he tells us, this is your inheritance. Go and bring back a report. Be of good courage. Bring back the fruit of the land. Oh, there's such an amazing opportunity in God. If we only believe, if we do not lose heart, if we have courage in that moment to see like he sees and believe like he believes. Thank you, Lord. But it goes on. Unfortunately, Numbers 14, verse 3, they began to complain. After bringing the bad report, they begin now to evaluate, and now they're actually coming up with plan B because of the report that they brought back. Completely forgetting the promise that he would give them the land. You see, the promise was not the giants. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the giants of the land and they will be your servants. He said, I will give you the land as your inheritance. Go bring me back a report. Numbers 14, their solution. Their complaint. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 4, you thought that was bad. Verse 4, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Staggering. Let us select a leader that can lead us in this sphere of fear and lead us back, show us how to return in our own strength, in trembling and with great fear, back to Egypt. At least maybe remember that place in between Egypt and here? Let's go back there at least. See, when we lose our focus in what God is speaking, we lose all context of reality. They thought in that moment it was better to return to Egypt than believe the Lord. Verse 6 onwards, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And all the others, Moses and Aaron, they were tearing their clothes in despair. And Caleb and Joshua, this is what they did when they were upset, I guess. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, now this is a different report. The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Come on. Completely different response from the exact same experience of 40 days. that 10 of them come back and saying they devour the people and we are grasshoppers and they are giants. There's no way we can do this. Not only that, who is going to be our leader to take us back to Egypt? And here Joshua and Caleb are tearing their clothes. Are you kidding me? This is an exceedingly good land. And it goes on. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Come on. It's such a different internal reality that Joshua and Caleb walked in. This is where I want to encourage us. Let every weight that has come upon us in the last weeks fall off, because the report of the Lord, the promise of God for our nation is still true, still intact, because we have generations that we're living for. Come on. If you know our dear friends Harold and Shirley, who come in the first service, 90 years old, when he voted, I had called him to make sure they can get out to vote. And he says, no, we sent our vote in by mail. And so, thank you for voting. And they said, we didn't vote for us. We voted for you and your children. Come on. There are moments that I felt discouraged, but when I look at my children, I'm like, this is not even close to being done. There's so much for me to believe for, so much for me to contend for, so much for me to fight for. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for us at the end, because when you go through contending for a long time, we're weary in the battle. And we need to reposition, regather, just so we can be refreshed in God and encouraged in him. So if there's any disappointment, don't let it linger. Allow the Lord to wash it away so we can stand again. Remember, the prayer room is just getting started. Thank you, Lord. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. And when they said this, all of the people said, let's stone them with stones. They're unrelenting. Their unbelief is staggering. It's not easy to carry the report of the Lord. It's not easy to carry the hope that we need for us and the people around us. There's so much opposition on all sides, but God still is faithful through it all. In verse, the last verse, verse 24, and here's how it ends. But my servant Caleb and Joshua, because he had a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Come on. That's the answer for us in this moment right now. Because he believed me fully, because they had a different spirit, he will walk into this land and his descendants will inherit it. Thank you, Lord. So don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. Don't lose faith. Don't lose your joy in this moment. Don't tear your tickets. Don't jump out of the train. We have an amazing destination with God. Come on, people. So my posture for 2021 is this. The Bible is still the authoritative words of eternal life. Prayer is still the most powerful platform. All other platforms can be shut down. We're still gonna have the sound of prayer that reaches the courts of heaven. Come on. The Holy Spirit is still alive and at work in us, and his kingdom is still on the move in and through us as a church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who believes this? The report of the Lord. The report of the Lord. And sometimes the way that God works is revealed in an extended period of time. And we just have to hold that moment. Continuing to believe. Years ago, Sarah and I were leading the Joshua School. It was a ministry school here at our church. We were planning a mission trip to Ethiopia, and I didn't have my American citizenship at that time, so we're working through those details. The paperwork was in process, but when we were planning to leave to go on outreach to Ethiopia, I needed a travel document in order to fly out so that I don't get, you know, stopped on my way back in. So we believed the Lord till the end. Steve Espalmer was here in charge of the prayer ministry, and he was calling Senator Brown back at that time. He was calling people in the government, trying to, you know, track down my paperwork, trying to expedite it to get that document so that I can travel, because we're leading the team to Ethiopia. And Jason is, for those who know Jason Cash, he was leading the school with me, and he doesn't know any of the contacts in Ethiopia. I set up all the meetings. I had this folder with all of the schedule. We're not sure if I'm gonna get my paperwork or not, but the only thing I know to do is believe the Lord fully. Because he had a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. In Greek, that means fully. In faith, only by experience, through what we have walked through, I have learned that when we engage faith to believe God for things, there cannot be plan B. You can engage it however you want to. But when they brought Israel to the Red Sea, Moses wasn't saying, well, let me put my hand out. Before I stretch my hand, let me look around. Maybe there's like another way that way, and we can come around, skirt the sea, and come around the other way. No, there is no way. That is when faith begins. When you have not, that's when faith operates in lack. Faith operates when there is no way forward. That's the initial, that's when the arena of faith is open when we come to that impossible place. And the only way forward is to believe him fully. The other option is, if that doesn't work, we'll go back to Egypt. We'll get a leader among us. And there are many times we face impossible situations. Sarah's another trip. Sarah's pregnant, 8 months with Myrrh, who's sitting right next to her now. We're in Ethiopia. We're trying to get through something. There's no option. I turn around. Sarah's pregnant. We can't take the bus. I'll tell that story another time. Because on that bus, she was sure to have the baby, if you know traveling in Ethiopia. There's no plan B. The only way on is forward. So we're believing for my paperwork. We make all the plans. The day of travel comes, and we call the Ethiopian Airlines. They say, look, we have ticket for you. Don't worry. If you can get it, let us know. And so we're driving the Sunday that we're traveling, all the pastors pray for us up front. The children's ministry pray for us. And then we line up our bags, and Jason's looking at me. I said, yep, I'm going. Let's go. I don't have a document to travel. And I haven't talked to him about the details. I haven't given him the layout. In case I don't go, here's what you need to do. He has been wanting that information. I haven't given him that information. You see, faith is not sophisticated. It is absolutely childlike. And it looks very irresponsible. It's hard to say that. So we load up our bags. We're heading to Dulles Airport from here. Jason's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm going on this flight with you guys. I have my flip phone with me. We get to the airport. I'm looking at the phone, waiting for that ringtone to go off. I'm standing. I'm the last one in line. They check in one by one, and the students are not walking on after checking in. They're all standing right beside because they've been praying with me for the last couple of months for my document to come through. So they stand there, they're all huddled and praying in tongues. We're coming to the check-in counter. I have all the information, all the numbers that I can call. Steve, I'm texting him, he's texting back. I haven't heard anything yet. He's talking to Senator Brownback. With Jason checks in, I check in, put my bag on the weighing scale. Thankfully it was underweight. I put it on the weighing scale, and then she asks me, I tell her the situation. I try to delay as long as I can in order that I may get a phone call and they could fax that travel document. I have made so many enemies at customs desks in my life. And this was one of them. And finally she said, sir, I can't process it. We have to open the check-in for other passengers. You can't board the flight. So at that point, I had done all that I could to believe the Lord. And when everything was exhausted, I believed him fully without plan B. I took it off the scale. And I gave Jason the folder, tears running down my eyes, tears running down Jason's eyes for a completely different reason. And I look over, all of the students knew what was happening because I took my bag out. They're all crying. I walk over to them. I said, guys, you don't have to worry about this trip because you have proven yourself, because all of us together believed fully. You're going to have my impartation of faith to you is that we collectively believe the Lord. When we believe in faith, it's not our responsibility to bring it to pass. Our responsibility is to believe. The work is God's to perform. I would rather believe ridiculously in God and fall flat on my face and look foolish and get up and believe him yet again. When you fail, it's not the moment to ask, did I hear God right or wrong? Come on. So I handed him the booklet. They grabbed it. We hugged everybody and they left. Now the backstory is, because we were believing fully without plan B, Sarah was, and Mur was just born. She said, hey, since you're going, in faith, since you're going to Ethiopia, why don't I go to Cyprus and spend the whole month with my family? So we bought her tickets a week before and sent her to Cyprus for the whole month. Not only that, because she was going and I was going away for a month, there was a family that was in need of a home. Judy, this is the Camp Hill house. She was our neighbor at that time. So there was a family that was in need at the church, and they found out that our house may be open for a whole month. So they called us and said, Chanda, you guys are leaving. Could we stay in your house for this month? I'm like, absolutely. So I had given them the keys to my house. They moved into our house, and I'm at the airport. My family is gone. My house, someone else, sounds like a country song. And the guy who drove our van, I think it was Eric Stowitz. I told him, he said, should I wait? I said, for what? Go. So he was already on 495 heading back to Pennsylvania. I waited, waved everyone goodbye, still looking at my phone. And finally I called Eric and said, Eric, take the next exit, come and pick me up. So he came and got me. I came back and I stayed at Steve S. Palmer's house that whole month. Out of a house, without my family, I stayed in the basement of their house that whole month. Is that faith? Did God come through? Is that success? Is that failure? What is it? I don't know. But I remember, I was talking with Ann in the green room. I remember the CD I was listening to that whole month. I remember what fed me. I remember what I wrestled with. Did I mess, am I foolish in doing this way? Or is there a better way to believe the Lord? Now, 1 year later, the same time, we're at it again with the Joshua School. Now, thankfully, I have my citizenship. And we're believing for all of our students to go to Ethiopia again. And 5 students the last week don't have money. By halfway through that week, 3 of them get their money. 2 are left. On Friday, we're traveling on Sunday. On Friday, one of them get all of their money's paid for. And there's one kid in our team that doesn't have any money. His name is Andrew Cressman. Andrew said, what should I do? I said, go buy everything that you need, all your toiletries, pack your bags. I gave him money because he didn't have any. I gave him money to go and buy toiletries for the trip. So he went to Target, got all his stuff. He showed up on Sunday morning. They prayed for us. We lined up in the old lobby, lined up our bags, counted the bags. Andrew sitting on the couch, just hopeless. I said, Andrew, get up and come over here. So I grabbed him. We started to pray together. All the students they've been praying for him for all of them that didn't have money for the last couple months. We're praying. While we're praying, I saw this guy walk in through the old doors and he motioned to me. I went over to him and said, hey, I got some money just recently. I've been praying for your team. Is there anybody that still need money or do you have any need for the trip? I said, yes, we do. And he had exactly the same amount that Andrew Cressman needed. So I wanted to make sure we can make this transaction happen before telling the team. I ran with him to Linda Arvey, and she said, yep, we can do this. Go buy the ticket, take him with you. So I ran back out, and I said, guys, somebody literally, while we're praying, walked in the doors, prayed for Andrew Cressman. And it was like we won the Super Bowl. Everyone, like, threw their gear, their water bottles, and it was like this Pentecostal run around all around the building, yelling and screaming and shouting and rejoicing. And while this was happening, I hear the Lord so clearly. He said, Chandi, thank you for believing me last year. Come on. Come on. Come on. That one moment restructured wherever it is in me that I believe the Lord. And I thought it was foolishness that whole month I was in the basement of Steve's house, wrestling with my own process, wrestling with my own, not complicated. God, I want to believe you. And he says, thank you for believing me. Why don't we stand to our feet? And this is what I want to speak to us as a church. I hear the Lord saying to us, thank you for believing him. Thank you for praying. Thank you for contending. Thank you for believing for a generation that is yet to come. Even beyond the normal, reasonable, acceptable place of faith and belief, thank you for continuing to believe him. And I know what it's like. It's weary. You get dented because of all of that battle, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But the good news is, our prayer room is just getting started. There are more assignments for us. There's more hope for us in the future. And God is speaking to us. Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope in him. So if this is you through the whole of last year and both COVID and believing for our nation, wherever, it's not political. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. What do we believe for? And if you found yourself in that place of battle and found yourself this week on the other side of a new president for America and you're wondering, you know, let no discouragement be part of our process. Because he brings those things all back together in his wonderful way, in his wonderful time. It's not for us to accomplish those things. For us, it is given to be faithful and like Joshua and Caleb, to believe him fully and be a people of a different spirit. So if you want to be refreshed in the presence of God, I want you to come up to the front. If our ministry team can come forward and be available, thank you, Lord. Because we're not stopping here. There's more for us as a community, more for us as a church. Thank you, Lord. You haven't known how to articulate what you have been feeling and experiencing, the onslaught and the assault against righteousness, the assault against what we feel injustice. God wants to cover us and heal us. Come on, make your way forward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that we would have the report like Joshua and Caleb. We would have the fortitude in this moment to continue to believe. Thank you, Lord. For you and your family, husbands and wives, if you had conversation with each other, can we still believe? Are we right? Have we missed it? Have we gone wrong? God wants to wash over you and affirm who you are. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's make way for you to come forward. Thank you, Lord. Come and be refreshed in him. Come and be encouraged in him, because the word of God is still true. This land which I will give to the children of Israel. That's what the Lord said. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on up, Charles. Thank you, Lord. I want you to hear the Lord say, thank you. No, I didn't say that.
You know, first of all, for everyone that's come forward, these ministers, these prayer ministers, they're just going to pray refreshing on you. It's not a counseling time to pour out all your disappointment, but it's just a time to receive the Lord's thank you. He's thanking you for believing. One of the details of that first trip where Chandi believed all the way to the check-in counter at Dulles Airport is that through the tears, blessing, releasing, sending that team, when they got to Ethiopia with no guide, because Chani was their guide, they saw for a month signs, wonders, miracles, salvations, deliverances, the Lord's provision and guidance. They were launched into an adventure in the supernatural realm. And so I just want to pray that for all of you and those who came forward, those who didn't come forward. Father, we thank you that you stirred so many to believe and to contend and to pray. And Father, maybe we haven't seen what we want yet, but we declare that there's a season coming of signs, wonders, and miracles protecting your families, protecting the sanctity of marriage, protecting your children in situations that we would have never chosen for them. Father, we just bless. We bless your people to continue to contend, to continue to believe, and to hear your thank you in their hearts and in their spirits when they come again to pray. God, we shake off fear, discouragement, fatigue, heaviness, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you've given us promises and that it's a good land that far exceeds our ability to imagine what you have in store for us. And so we lift our eyes to you, not the details of your promise, but we lift our eyes to you and we trust in your faithfulness. Release faith here today, Holy Spirit. Renew, restore, and enlarge our heart's capacity to believe. Even as Johnny said, his whole life, his whole heart was restructured during that month in the basement. God, just give us this season of deepening and restructuring our faith. Father, that we would be those who are victorious. We would be those who say, yes, it's just these problems are bread for us. They're just a mouthful for us. We were created to overcome this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, ministry team, you can walk through. Let's take the next few moments. Just sing the tagline of this chorus again and again. I feel this is a song for right now. You have our attention, God. You have our affection. For no other reason, we will continue to pursue your presence. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, God. As the worship team is continuing to sing, and there's a lot of ministry going on up front. We do want to, if you need to go, we want to dismiss you to go with the presence of God, carrying all of his assignments, that your hearts may be full to overflowing with hope and joy, setting your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Go in this courage, go in the peace of God in Jesus' name. If you're here at the altar, continue to linger as long as you need. Allow the Lord to wash, continually wash over you, refresh your heart in him in this season. Thank you, Lord.